Let's go to the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Van the Man held through the break and joins us right now. Hey, Van the Man.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, I tell you one thing. You got a Heisman Trophy quarterback at Ole Miss, buddy. I'm telling you, you better think about it. You better think about it. Alabama out of there. They done. They still think they were. Alabama is living on Nick Saban. They got to let that dream go.
Can I tell you something? I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think one of the best things this year is the race for the Heisman Trophy. I actually read something which is mute to the ears of Ole Miss fans. It was on the ESPN's ESPN's quarterback. They did a breakdown of 31 quarterbacks, and they said that it was an opposing defensive coordinator that said Lane Kiffin gets too much credit for Trinidad Chambliss. That people are sleeping on Chambliss, and he's actually good. He's not just Lane Kiffin good. Trinidad Chambliss right now is plus 1,200 to win the Heisman. I think that is an excellent bet.
Hey, man, the truth is on the field. That's all I can say. The boy's putting up stats, and what he did last year, man, look, we better be ready for some college football. But you know what? You better be Gamecock ready, baby, because we coming.
I love it.
Van the Man. Appreciate the phone call, Van. Thanks
very much. All right, man. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, you too.
The more I think about it, the more I'm going with Oklahoma. Their schedule's just brutal, Quark. It is. And I'm thinking about the ebbs and flows of a season and how the rankings will follow that. There's a strong possibility that Oklahoma starts the season 2-2 or 2-3. And then they've got several possible difficult games to close out the year. They are in the first 5 weeks at Michigan, at Georgia, and then Texas in Dallas.
Ooh.
So if they're not underdogs in those three, it's real close. Now they can also, you know, they also win one of those. And
defense travels. Defense plays right in big games. We know that.
You know, they also have Ole Miss, A&M, at Florida, Missouri. The way their schedule lays out, they could go from 10 to 27 easily.
Is their schedule not similar to Clemson's in this way? That the first five games could very much dictate what happens in the last seven.
Yeah.
Like, when I look at Clemson's schedule, if Clemson goes 2-3 in their first five games, that could very much dictate what happens in their last seven. All seven of which, I think they'll be favored, or they should be the better team, more talented team, whatever you want to say about it. If Oklahoma goes 2-3 in their first five with a loss to Texas, then I think it very interestingly puts at Mississippi State in play. I think it may be in play anyway. At Florida in play, Ole Miss at home, Texas A&M at home, at Missouri. I think all those are in play potentially for them. And I'm not as concerned about Kentucky and South Carolina at home, but you're right. Now, if they go 4-1, let's say they beat Michigan, they lose to Georgia, they beat Texas. Then I think you're setting up a team that's of a certain caliber that a lot of that doesn't matter. But I think you're right in set. Like, this is exactly the type of schedule. This is exactly the thing that happened to Clemson and Penn State last year.
Yeah, and I want to make this clear. Oklahoma's talented enough to stay in. It's not a talent thing for me. It's just their schedule is, and the way the schedule lays out seems like it makes them a big candidate to fall out.
Ben, what if I told you there was a quarterback of a team ranked inside the top 10 that last year in games against ranked opponents completed 57% of his passes? This is in three games against ranked teams. I think this is teams ranked in the final poll. Three games against ranked teams. He completed 57% of his passes, which is next to last in his conference. two touchdowns, five interceptions.
You're talking about John Mateer.
I'm talking about Marcell Reed, Ben.
Really?
Mateer and Reed are very similar in this way.
Because Mateer threw a lot of interceptions last year.
Mateer's numbers, so it's interesting. Mateer in ranked games, five ranked games, according to the stats I'm looking at right now, five ranked games, 59% completions, 6.8 yards per attempt, four touchdowns, five picks. Marcell Reed, 57% completions, 7.2 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, five picks. Marcell Reed completed less than 50% of his passes at Notre Dame, where he had 360 yards, but he was 17 of 37. At LSU, where they were fired, I mean, coach was fired, he goes 12 of 21 for 202. At Missouri, 20 of 29 for 221. At Texas, he goes 20 of 32 for a buck 80. And then the Miami game, he goes 25 of 40, 237. Not bad, but he took seven sacks. Marcell Reed was really good last year against the fired coaches and non-bowl teams on the schedule. This year, there aren't as many fired coaches on the schedule. Remember we talked about this? At one point, we talked about this where they were the wins that they had in conference where Auburn fired the coach, Mississippi State missed a bowl or was under 500. Florida fired the coach. Arkansas fired the coach. LSU fired the coach. Then they won at Missouri. That was good. South Carolina missed a bowl. Those are their conference wins, and then they lost at Texas. It was remarkable how many, like how cushy that schedule was.
And I know what the scoreboard said. Reed lost to South Carolina last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know.
He did have 439 passing. I mean,
he got 400 of those in one quarter. Like the third quarter was insane last year.
That's a really good point. So that same program. I mean, Arizona State at home. Not chalking that up. First year coach at Kentucky. First year coach at LSU, first year coach Arkansas, you're at Missouri, you're at Alabama, you're at South Carolina, you're at Oklahoma, you have Texas at home, but still, there's a lot more landmines there, and there's no Colin Klein, different offensive system.
Good points. Yeah, Texas asked about Mateer being injured last year. Yeah, I mean, he injured, was his thumb? Yeah, I mean, that certainly impacted his play. He had 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year. He's a better quarterback than that. I get it. But you were asking the question, who fit those stats? That's why I said Mateer.
Right. The question for Mateer, too, is he hurt and can stay healthy, or is he hurt and he's going to get hurt again? That's my main question with Oklahoma. What happens if he throws his body into something and breaks it? Let's go to Mike and Anderson and Butch and Fountain Inn. We'll get to them before we take a break for our next segment. What's up, Mike?
Not much. Good afternoon, Quack and Ben. Quack, I had a college football question for you. It's a two-parter, and I'm pretty sure you and Ben will vehemently disagree with me on part of it. But I read an article in The Athletic either yesterday or today, and it was about current coaches in college football. And they were ranking college football coaches, head coaches. And according to The Athletic, who I thought was a pretty reputable publication or magazine or whatever, it is Kurt Cignetti, Kirby Smart, and then everybody else. No mention whatsoever of Ryan Day, how you could possibly do that. I do not understand. And that brought up a point or something I've thought about since this happened in the past couple of years. If you take away the NIL money of the last 2 years, what has Kurt Cignetti ever done in his life? I don't care about Mendoza. I'm an old man. I've been watching college football for 60 years, which would be in the middle 60s. I'm not that impressed with Cignetti. I'm not that impressed with Mendoza. And again, I'm pretty sure you guys will disagree with me on that part, but one of the questions is, how in God's name can you leave Ryan Day off the list? And I will hang up and listen. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. I agree with his critique of The Athletic. He's right. I totally disagree on Cignetti. I completely disagree.
And we would both agree you can't leave. You can't name two people and leave Ryan Day and some others off and say it's those two and everybody else.
I might talk about that tomorrow. I put it in our doc and just basically asked the question, how many coaches are tier one? I don't understand. Like, you put Kirby Smart in tier one, but not Ryan Day. And the reason they gave for leaving Ryan Day off is because Ohio State has resources. Kirby Smart doesn't have resources? Now, I understand Ryan Day's in a job where his two predecessors won a national title. That's very true. But to act like Kirby, because Mark Richt didn't win a national title, that Kirby Smart doesn't have resources or has a different level of resources than Ryan Day is silliness. That's silliness. I don't understand that.
On the Cignetti thing, let me just add, this is his 16th year as a college football head coach, 16th season. So through 15 seasons, he's lost 37 games.
At four different levels.
He's barely averaging more than two losses a year and won a national championship at a school that is the worst historic program of all time. Yes, respectfully, Mike, you're right. We disagree with you on that point.
As an FBS football coach, he's been an FBS football coach for 5 years. He is 30-4 in conference play in two different conferences. James Madison in the Sun Belt. That they immediately arrived in the Sun Belt and won 8 games and 11 games. 13-3. They won the East Division their first 2 years in the Sun Belt. They shared it technically, but they won it in 22 and then won it outright in 23. They made 3 FCS semifinals or championship games in the 3 years he was at James Madison. He took Elon to the playoffs in FCS twice to the first round. He took IUP to the Division II playoffs 3 times in 5 years. And Kurt Cignetti at, again, IUP, Elon, James Madison, and Indiana has only come close to a losing record twice. He's only gone, he went 6-5 1 year at IUP and 1 year at Elon. He hasn't even come close any other years. Like, no one-off 4-8, no rebuilding year one. Kurt Cignetti is one of the great coaches in the last 25 years in college football. Honestly, you know what this resume is? It's a different path to get to the Kalen DeBoer. Remember, you know, Lance Leopold, Kalen DeBoer, it's this archetype where you've won at every level, so you get hired at the next level. And I think there were lots of folks that were hesitant to do that. I actually think it's a better idea now because of NIL. Because think about this, and Butch, we're coming to you here. Think about this. In previous years, you had to have like SEC experience. You want to coach in the SEC because you need to be able to recruit in the SEC with SEC budgets. Well, now recruiting is just how much money can you give me? So if you've got money, people willing to step up, I don't actually need that experience. I just need to coach them up once you get them to me. It's interesting to look at Cignetti in that light. Let me get to Butch and Fountain Inn before we take our next break. Hey, Butch.
Hey, brother. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, man, I'm on the right side of the dirt, man. I'm
glad, I hear you.
You know? But, hey, you know, we was talking about the AP polls earlier and stuff. I agree. You know, like, you and I talked about this before, you know, the year that South Carolina in 2024 went 9-3. But they went out there and performed disastrously against Illinois. And that right there should have told everybody, don't rank them 13th in the country. If you go out and play a bowl like that and lose like that, you don't deserve to be ranked that high because you're showing what your next year team looks like. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying there, and that Illinois game was worse in practice than it was on the scoreboard. They only lost by 4. I think that was it. That, like, I remember watching that game here in studio. I guess Clemson's game was on the same time or a similar time. And I remember thinking, man, they are just getting pounded into oblivion. But Beamer kind of coached their way close in the game. I mean, they had some red zone stuff there and all. But you're right. I mean, in hindsight, it was a harbinger of things to come in a way that I don't think they expected. They also played six ranked teams last year. So they probably should have been 13, but it, you know, it's possible with the cushier schedule that they might have been like a, you know, at least a bowl team or something like that. It was a tough schedule for them last year.
Yeah. But I hope that we I feel good about the team this year. I've told several of you guys on the different shows that I feel kind of positive this year. I've read some good things that we actually got a little depth at offensive line, you know, even though Pete apparently is not going to be there, and you know, we got some other guys down, but we got some other guys to fill in for them, and I'm happy to read and hear about that. It's a lot better hope than last year.
I agree with you, Butch. I think there's reason for optimism. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Thank you, brother.
I think there's at least more reason for optimism than 4-8. I think there's that. Let's take a break. Scott and Greenville's up next. Don't go anywhere.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Firm Street right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
If you go to industrialmotorservice.com right now, you can sign up for a free maintenance and reliability guide on your electric motors. This will give you the tools that you need to identify early issues that you might have. It will cut your repair costs. It will extend motor life. And this is all for free. This is from a company that is the best in the business at keeping you up and running if you have industrial motors of any type. That is industrialmotorservice.com. I would encourage you now to go there. You simply put in your email address, you download your free guide, and you're up and running. You're not losing money with downtime. It's industrialmotorservice.com.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
The Anderson Area Touchdown Club is celebrating their 45th football season kickoff with Facts on Sport, broadcasting live on Friday, August 21st from 9 to noon at the Anderson Institute of Technology campus at 315 Pyramid Dairy Road in Anderson. Facts In will interview the Anderson County High School head football coaches and key players, and you're invited to come experience it live. Then at noon, enjoy the first Touchdown Club meeting of the season. Visit the Anderson Area Touchdown Club page on Facebook or call 864-616-6471 for more information.
Your home's details are what make it special. Painter One of the Upstate specializes in the high-end finishing touches that others overlook. Run by two Clemson Engineering alumni, they guide you through every step of the process with daily check-ins, ensuring a stress-free transformation that increases your home's value and beauty. Serving the Upstate, they're ready to bring your vision to life. Call 864-668-6899 or visit PainterOne1.com/upstate today.
Security valve. And safety valve, security blanket, safety net. I just mixed up three metaphors in two different ways, and I'm not really sure how I did that. I think that's kind of a big deal, Ben. I know they brought in a kid from Oklahoma that also got hurt that really hasn't been a factor for a couple years at Oklahoma. Not as worried about that. I think the idea was for Sellers to be like a 600, 700-yard type of guy this year. It's not going to happen. I think it's a big deal. And I don't know if it costs you a win, but if you're South Carolina and you're just trying to, like, make a bowl, I know I said, like, injuries happen. That feels like one of those injuries that's not a level one, like a 5-alarm fire, but this is an injury where maybe you're calling the fire department. You agree or disagree? Before we go to Scott, you agree or disagree with that assessment of where things stand?
If they don't have any other injuries, I'm not sure it's the end of the world. But I do think Sellers was the candidate to take a big leap this year. You know, which is never good. So I mean, it would bother me from that standpoint, but you know, I mean, I like their starters. What are the odds you only need three though? You know, and they have other guys on the roster. I mean, he would be the next man up.
Right. And like they've got highly recruited guys that were more highly recruited than Sellers, like a Murph, like a Bennett, like a Harbor. Like you have other guys there. But you know, like Patrick says on the Adams Court Ring text line, brothers have chemistry that quarterbacks are having to develop with their receivers.
That's a great point.
Let's go to Scott in Greenville, who's up with us next. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Clark, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. How you doing, Ben?
Scott, good to hear from you. I'm good. Things still progressing well in your world?
Well, that was my first point. Clark, I'm going to give you two numbers, and this is not a nerd alert. I think this is a Ric Flair woo moment. 108-72. That was the wife's BP yesterday.
Excellent.
So it's fantastic world over here. She's doing great. I think we're going to get her back into church this weekend and try that on Sunday and make this little journey a little bit better than where it has been the last few weeks. To Mike and Anderson, who's upset with The Athletic that Ryan Day was not in that poll, if you will Google the Just for Men top 25 coaches, Ryan Day is 1 through 25, and then it's everybody else. So he would be happy there.
I cannot participate in this conversation.
Oh, Lord.
But, don't forget my Atlanta Braves when football season, baby. We're playing 7 games in 4 cities in 7 days. We play the Twins. We have a makeup game with Chicago. Then we go to Milwaukee. And then Sunday they play in Williamsport. It's going to be an interesting 7 days here, brother.
It's an interesting time for travel. It's not a great time to play. Really, the game started poorly last night, and they never recovered. I mean, the 4 in the first, that's all the Twins really needed. And then the Twins just kind of hoofed it from there.
And I don't know what happens. They called up AJ today and DFA'd Tyler Kinley, which is not a terrible move. But I don't know what happens with AJ down the stretch. But I know football season is upon us, and next week it's going to be crazy. And baseball will get put on a back schedule for a couple of months till October hits and into September in the playoffs and all that kind of good stuff. But still love that game and still gonna talk my Braves if that's all right with you guys. But anyway, enjoying the show, and it's going to be interesting to see what we do this week in Atlanta. And as far as the Sellers injury, I don't think he's got a lot of weapons anyway, so I think it's huge. But anyway, enjoy the show. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks very much, Scott. Appreciate the phone call.
Scott, I hope Mrs. Scott from Greenville can make it to church Sunday. And if she does and that goes good, the next place you need to take her is to our college football kickoff show on Thursday night. I can't think of a better place to bring her at the Southern Weaving Food Hall right here in Easley, 5 to 8.
I can't wait. It's coming quickly. We've got, what, 9 days?
Week from Thursday.
Man, ready to get this thing going. I do want to talk some Braves on the other side because I do have some questions about the Smith-Shawver for Kinley thing. I think it's a good move, personally, but
Scott says she's coming. Fantastic.
That's what
I'm
talking
about. Great news right
there. Yes. Yes. Let's go to Darren and Pickens, who's up next. Hey, Darren.
Hey. We got to change my name.
All right.
So I think Ben said something last time about Peacock Darren.
Peacock Darren.
Wearing all the colors.
All right, there we go. We're going Peacock Darren. That's it.
With, you know, reminder, the yellow Air Force hat, Gamecock shirt, and orange shorts at your opening thing at the Easley Brewery thing, whatever it's called.
Southern Weaving Food Hall.
Yeah, there you go, looking forward to that. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I wanted to talk about the Air Force for a minute.
Okay.
I know it's an exciting topic. I just wanted to let you know that from what I've seen, they're ranked 85th preseason poll.
All right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I predict they'll break the top 40 this year.
Okay.
And I think they'll have a winning record this year.
I think that'd be a good step. I think that'd be a good step back from because last year's 4-8 was not great.
No, that was terrible. But they've got quite a few returning people, so, and they don't do transfers and portal things. So, but anyway, I already bought my ticket to the Air Force Navy game in Colorado Springs. My daughter's going with me. And so we're lining that trip up for, I think it's October the 3rd. And I've always wanted to go to a game where there was two military schools playing, so this is a one off the bucket list. I'm super excited about that.
That's amazing. I hope you have a good time because I don't think those opportunities come around very often. So that's really cool.
Exactly. But the following year, I'm going to hit up Air Force and Army. So I'll get both of them done in 2 years, and I'm excited about that. Also going to Red Rock Concert, see King and Country out there in Morrison, Colorado. Are you familiar with the Red Rock?
Theater? I know of it because I've had friends who have gone. I've not gone myself. I have been told it's tremendous.
Yes, and that's another bucket list item too. So anyway, just thought I'd share that with you.
Thanks very much, Darren. Good stuff. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
I like for King and Country too. Do you know the three Service Academy games last year were decided by a combined 7 points? That's really good.
Good games.
Yeah, I love that. Give me all of that. For King and Country's great too. I've seen For King and Country in concert. They're excellent. They're like there's a reverence to For King and Country, but also they play music on trash cans. Like it's a very cool vibe. I love it. Let's take a break. We're going to bounce around a few different topics in our final segment. Don't go anywhere. More to come after this.
The Roar's 2026 College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in East.
In this segment, first we have Walt Deptula.
Yeah, we've been talking polls today and how the AP voters are, who they are, what they do, that kind of thing. And I referenced one that I've heard Walt talk about that he is part of. As I said, I think people more that are more in line with our profession are better equipped to do a national poll because we have to pay attention nationally more so than some of those that are in an AP voter. So go straight to the source.
Let's do it. Walt, what's going on?
Quark, Ben, good to speak with you. Yeah, you know, it's the one I'm involved with is called Pipeline Poll, and they started with like 25 people that were all regular followers, had college football sites online whose job was to follow college football. So, you know, that's people that they respected, et cetera, and that's how they chose the people. So it's a good group, and there were good conversations. I would suggest you, if they ever ask you, though, say no, because it's a lot more work than you think. It just it really is, and it's sort of a pain in the ass. It's not easy. You think it's easy until you start being charged with doing it, and then you get all these little issues. Like, for example, you can't decide anything until Southern Cal's done playing out west. You know, mm-hmm. You want to get it in, you're finished up, but you can't because then the other part is when you get 4 or 5 weeks into the season, it's easy when you start. 4 or 5 weeks into the season, when it starts becoming much more of a big jigsaw puzzle, and where, you know, team A beat team B, but you get too many crosses that there just aren't easy answers to. No matter how much you know, they're not easy answers to. So if you take it seriously, it becomes increasingly more difficult to rank the teams with each passing week. So it's not the easiest thing in the world. I mean, everyone thinks it is until you actually are involved in doing it on a week-by-week basis, and you have a deadline for when it has to get in, and you have to wait for the West Coast Conference games to be over, and or the Western games to be over, and then you've got to try and do your due diligence on making sure that you don't wrong somebody, which is really easy to do when you start trying to mold all these pieces together.
Let me ask you this. I've thought about this at random at different points, because the thing that can get hard, particularly right now, is finding 25 teams to rank. And there are other weeks where you can have 25 teams to rank. Would you find it to be a better exercise if you weren't like beholden to a number? If you could just decide, I'm ranking 17, or I'm ranking 31, I'm ranking however many teams I think deserve to be ranked this week, and then among that, you come up with 25. In other words, I feel like some weeks it just doesn't even make sense to have 25, because the gap between, like, for instance, 22 and 36 is like zero.
Well, again, that's part of the difficulty of doing it, because you are trying to base it on a set formula, a preconceived number that you've got to fill every week, no matter what happens. And like I said, you get to a point where, you know, the ACC had all these tiebreaker concerns. Well, now you got the whole nation in these tiebreaker concerns. And, you know, you may think you figured it out one second, and then the next thing you realize, oh, no, I can't do that because of this. And so it sort of builds on each other, builds on itself in sort of a negative way if you're trying to put the puzzle together with each passing week. And so it's much more challenging than people imagine. And knowledge isn't enough. But the knowledge is a good place to start. I mean, the people that they chose all have college football sites. They're all actively engaged in watching college football every week. Doesn't mean we're right. Doesn't mean we're more right than anybody else. But I think that the people involved were more diligent, certainly, and certainly as occupations, they all cover college football to a pretty significant extent. Still, having said that, and you know the level of my illness, it's just, I can tell you, it's not as simple as it seems. You could mail it in, like probably a lot of the AP voters do, but that wasn't the point in assembling this. The point was to try and be the most accurate poll. Well, if you're going to try and be the most accurate, you can't have people who mail it in.
All right, so that brings me to my final question for you. The Penn State thing. Are you with me on the Penn State thing? That Penn State is a mishmash of a 6-6 team and an 8-4 Big 12 team from last year, and we're just slapping a number, an 18 by their name, and it's like no one's asking any questions about that. I find that there are questions that need to be asked about that.
Well, I mean, they're just Iowa State. Iowa State has moved to Happy Valley.
Right.
You've got about four of those, you know. South Florida moved to Auburn. North Texas moved to Oklahoma State. We've got three or four of those situations where, you know, Matt Campbell just picked up and moved his entire team to Happy Valley. So you're really looking at Iowa State, not Penn State. So Iowa State's now going to play in front of 110,000 people, which should help them at least at home. But the thing that they have going from Quark is their schedule is very tame by Big Ten standards right now. So they're almost guaranteed like 9 wins. And so I have them in that range too. I have them in that range because I think that when you look at their schedule, it's very cozy. And by the way, you look at Indiana. You were talking about Indiana earlier. They are like a mortal lock guarantee to win their first 6 games. They're going to have a 22-game winning streak when Ohio State comes to Indiana for the 7th game of the year.
Whew. That'll be bonkers. I love it. More of this from 3 to 7, by the way, for Walt Abdullah.
See you guys. Good
Thanks,
talk.
Man. Hey, great talk to you, as always, Walt Abdullah, who I believe is in the parking lot. I believe he called us from the parking lot, which that's amazing. Texter says this. Let me see. Jason in Columbia gets in. and says, J.C. Sherbert says that Sellers was definitely going to be the starting slot receiver at South Carolina. So that's somebody with ears on the ground at South Carolina. I think it's a big loss. I do. I think it's a big loss. Let's go to Tennessee Tiger. Final phone call of the show before we start wrapping things up. Hey, Tennessee Tiger.
Hey, Kralt. I've been in hiding. I heard that the World Cup was over, so I came out to listen to the local sports.
Beautiful.
But to comment on a couple of calls, and the person that you got a text from that was like a butt text, I think that's what they use when you, like, you Google or use a web browser, and then you check and see all those different asterisks and hashtags and all that. I think that's where they get those from.
That's what it looked like. It looked kind of weird when we started reading it. That's what it looked like.
And the comment made on the place that does the music with trash cans, that comes from the Houston Astros School of Communications.
Yes.
Music. You disagree there.
That's the Jose Altuve method, Tennessee Tiger.
Yes.
That's what we call that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I'm trying to figure out what I want to ask you in the last 5 minutes. I got a number of ways this can go. All right. I want to ask you about Tyler Mahle. I want to ask you about I was going to talk about coaches. I want to save it. I want to save the coaches for tomorrow. Oh, you know what we haven't talked about today? Ohio State moving their senior day. Did you see this story?
No, I did not.
Okay, Ohio State. Ryan Day says we're moving senior day to week one. We're doing senior day the first game of the season.
Okay.
Ben, I don't like this, okay? And I'm going to tell you why I don't like this. We have a prominent example in Clemson of this happening. If you recall, Dabo Swinney moved senior day off of South Carolina. Now, I think logistically, it probably is defensible because of tickets. Because if you put, like, if you're playing the Citadel or somebody the week before South Carolina, and you can make that senior day, there's more tickets available for family and whoever wants to come. I think that makes sense. That's not how it has been sold, and that's not how it is being sold at Ohio State. It's being sold as a distraction, Ben. I don't like when things are sold as distractions, when I'm told that they're distracting, okay? Because that in and of itself is an acknowledgement. The thing won. You didn't beat that thing. Senior Day has beaten you. You are defeated by Senior Day. It's just a distraction. Ben, I'll ask you this question. Since Clemson moved Senior Day off the South Carolina game, first time it happened was 2014. How many times has Clemson beaten South Carolina that they would not have otherwise beaten them, regardless of when Senior Day was?
Oh, I don't know. I was under the impression Clemson moved it just so that it got more attention.
I thought it was billed as distraction. We're going to eliminate distractions. It's a lot for the South Carolina game. And maybe you're right.
Yeah. Well, the truth is probably both of those things. I don't know. I mean, you ask an impossible question. But if you are a senior, I mean, I could actually see that being to your advantage also, because you're thinking, okay, you are reminding me this is my last ever college game in Death Valley. Therefore, I really want to go out and play hard. The flip side of that is you do the exact same routine before every game. You run down the hill with your teammates, and now all of a sudden you're not. And, you know, and think about this too. You do that individually. There's not as much build up to the entrance and things like that on senior day because of how you have to do that. You know, at Clemson, the seniors come down the hill one at a time. I could see that getting you out of your routine a little bit. Does that affect your play by the time you get to the middle of the first quarter? Yeah, probably not. But, you know, I like it because I like it not being on the last day. And I didn't think I would, because you can focus more on it.
I would like to see, and I think it's true of Clemson, it's true of Ohio State here. When you move it like this, when you've been losing to your rival, it does make it seem like you're trying to move it off the game.
Fair point.
To change the results. And my point is, Clemson's played South Carolina five times at home. They've been the better team five times since they moved senior day, and they've lost twice. Like it hasn't led to considerably more success in the game.
The bigger question might be, you know, similar to what is a woman, what is a senior?
Well, that's honestly, Sam and Faxon made a good point. There are transfers who are going to be celebrating senior day before they ever play a snap for Ohio State.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, what is that? You literally have never, you've never played a snap for your team.
We would like to introduce you to John Smith. We also wish him well.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. He's got to wear a name tag in addition to his jersey so you know who he is. And also, thank you for your years of service. Like, mom and dad. Come on out, mom and dad.
That's a funny. That's funny. That's, I mean, that's just a good point.
It's just, I don't know. I don't like it.